If you have your Bibles today, you can turn with us to the book of Exodus as we'll be continuing our sermon series written in stone about the Ten Commandments as we're looking today at the fourth commandment that the Lord has given us. And it's a good one. It's go to church. You've all done it. Congratulations. Let's go home. Not quite that easy. But if you have Exodus chapter 20, we'll begin reading at verse 8 here in just a second. Pastor Lee is out of town this weekend. His second oldest daughter graduated yesterday from college down in Denver, yeah. And she is now a bona fide certified chef and can cook for us. So, hey, I'm happy. But she did, and I believe she has already secured employment as well, so it's going to be a good time for her as she is beginning a new life as a professional chef, which is one of those jobs I didn't know existed back in the day, or I might have been one. But anyway, we're just glad that they had a good time with her and fellowshipping with her at her graduation. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's go to him in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, God. I thank you it is a day that we can come and we can worship you, Father. We can celebrate the Sabbath, God. We can have a day of rest in your arms, Lord God. And we can come and fellowship with other believers, God, and grow in our spirit with you as we mingle and we fellowship with one another. God, I pray at this time that you open our hearts and our ears to hear this word that you have prepared in my heart. Father, I pray, Lord, that we leave changed, we leave ready to go out into the world, God, to deliver to them what you told us to do, God, and that was to spread the gospel. Father, I love you today, and I praise you, and it's in your name I pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but if you travel through large airports, you may find that there is usually a chapel somewhere located in an airport. Now, you may think, why is there a chapel in the airport? Because if you're lucky like me, all of your flights have about 45 minutes to get from point A, which is in Roberts, to point B, which is on the Beartooth Highway, and you're running the whole way. But in some instances, people do have longer layovers, and they're flying because they may be in a time of weariness. There may be a problem in their life, and they're trying to get to it. And there's a chapel there. There's a place they can go and they can rest for a little while. If you've ever noticed, most hospitals have a chapel in them. A place, usually nobody's in the hospital just because you want to be there. But it's a place you can go to in that time of need where you can rest. And I don't mean sleeping. I don't mean taking a nap. I mean resting in the Lord. Today we're going to look at the fourth commandment that God has given us, and that is to keep the Sabbath. It's to keep the day that God set aside out of 7 days. He said, I want you to take one day and I want you to rest. Sabbath means to rest. So today we're going to look at this and exactly what God had intended for us to do according to the Bible here in Exodus chapter 20. Now, the first part of that verse, the first word says, remember the Sabbath day. He says, I want you to remember. Well, if he's telling them to remember, then this is not an establishment of a new commandment. It's the reestablishment of something he has already told them to do. He says, I want you to remember the Sabbath. I want you to go back and you remember what your fathers and your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers had taught you before your time in Egypt. I want you to remember the Sabbath day. It's a reestablishment because it all began in the beginning in Genesis 2. It says, "And God made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested." So at the very beginning of creation, God placed the Sabbath. You can go into Exodus, just a few chapters before where we are in chapter 20, Exodus 16. The manna is falling every day. And they're going out and they're collecting manna every day so they can eat and make bread and cakes and whatever. And he says, on the sixth day, you collect enough manna for the seventh day, because the seventh day is a day of rest. So he's already told them at least twice, there's more than that, but at least twice before this point at Mount Sinai, before the Ten Commandments were written and given to Moses, "I want you to have a day of rest. I want you to have a day of Sabbath." And the Sabbath was rooted in the creation. God intended for a day of rest. If you look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "God blessed the Sabbath and he made it holy. It was a day that the people should look back upon the creation." It was a day that God looked back on what he had done in the last week, giving honor and glory to God for what he had done. Now, I believe in a literal seven-day creation. There's different theories there. Some people believe it was not 7 days like we know today. I believe in 7 days. 7 24-hour hours, it was done. And on the very first day, there wasn't even a day. So God made a day. And then he started making everything else. And everything that we see, and everything that we've ever seen, everything we will ever see, God made in those 6 days. And at the end of each day in the Bible, it says, "And there was morning and there was evening, and then the next day. And there was morning and there was evening, and then the next day." And on the sixth day, there was morning and there was evening. And then it says on the seventh day, that he made the Sabbath, he made a day of rest. And it doesn't say there was morning and there was evening, because he was finished. He was done. Everything he had wanted to create, he had accomplished in 7 days. Out of absolutely nothing became everything. He says, "I want you to take that one day of week, and I want you to remember what I have done for you. I want you to remember my creation. I want you to remember that I made you, and I made those animals, and I made that mountain, and I made that tree, and I made that ocean." He says, "I want you to remember what I have done." Genesis 2, 1 through 3, it says, "God made the whole earth and all its creations, and then he rested on the seventh day." Have you ever thought, or maybe it's just me, was God tired? I mean, was God tired? I mean, he had just made the whole world and all the stars and the sun and the moon and those other planets that I probably used to know the names of, but I don't know anymore. He made the oceans, he made the rivers, and he made everything. Was God tired? Why did he rest? Well, God is omnipresent. And that means he is everywhere all the time. So if he's everywhere all the time, he doesn't have need for rest. Isaiah 40, 28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." God does not get tired. God does not get weary. God does not need sleep. God does not need a 5-minute power nap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. God does not need rest, because God is everything. And God gives us the rest that we need. Commentator Alan Ross described rest like this. The key word here is the well-known rest, the word sabbat. Or we say the Sabbath, referring to the seventh day. It is not a word that refers to remedying exhaustion after a tiring week of work. Rather, it describes the enjoyment of accomplishment, the celebration of completion. God was celebrating the accomplishment of the creation. He was celebrating the natural beauty that he had made. He was celebrating the animals that he had made. He was celebrating the man and the woman that he had made, because he made the man and the woman. It says in Genesis that we are made in his image. In the image of God, we are created. He made us in his likeness, and that was his prized possession. And then he sat back under the fig tree, or under the apple tree. There was probably good southern trees in the Garden of Eden. Maybe it was a big white oak. He sat down under the shade tree, and he looked at his creation. And he was happy, and he was joyous for what he had made. God made us. He formed us from the clay of the earth. He took some clay, and he got it into a shape, and he laid it out, and he made a man. God knew us and God knows us, but he didn't make us gods. He made us humans. We're not omnipresent. We cannot be everywhere. He made us humans so that we'd be dependent on him. He knew that we would need physical rest. He made us to need physical rest. And I'm glad he made us to need physical rest, because I love to sleep. He rested was also his way of setting the example of how he would want us to live. God knew that his greatest creation, us, mankind, would need physical rest. So he rested to show us what he wanted us to do. He gave us an example. The first example in the Bible he gave us by resting. And then throughout the rest of the Bible, every book of the Bible you read, you can find where God is giving us examples to do something. We get into the New Testament, and what are we called to do? We're called to be disciples of Jesus. What does that mean? We're going to live by his example and do what he's doing. The Bible flows from the very beginning to the very end. It flows together as one complete book. He was giving us an example of how to live, and he wanted us to rest. And I know a lot of times we think of rest, we simply think of taking a nap. We think of doing nothing. We think of sleeping. But that's not completely true of what God meant by the rest. He wanted it to be a day of rest. He wanted it to be a day of relaxing. But he wanted it to be a day of remembering him. Remembering what he had done. Verse 10 of Exodus 20 is very clear. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do... You shall not do any work, neither you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. That's pretty straightforward. He said, don't do nothing. Don't work. He'd already told the children of Israel while they were collecting the manna, collect enough on Saturday that you don't even have to worry about it on Sunday. Don't work. He wanted us to do nothing. Why did he want us to do nothing? Did he want us to be lazy? Nope. I don't believe he wanted us to be lazy. But when you're not doing anything else, that gives you a lot of time to do one thing, and that's to focus on him. When you lay aside the job, it gives you a day to focus on him. When you lay aside the activities and the sports and the recreation, it gives you a time to focus on him. He wanted us to set aside that one day a week to focus on him. He wants us to have rest, and I'm going to get into that. But he wanted us to remember and focus on him. Second point here is about rest. But it's more than what we may think. Our physical bodies, they do need rest. Mark 6:31, it says, Jesus is saying this. This is in red print in my Bible. Come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. Jesus told the disciples, hey, let's go over there and let's just rest a little bit. Let's relax. Let's just chill. So rest is important. Physical rest for our body is important. God intended us for rest. Verse 10 is unequivocal. It says, do not work. Who? It even lays out who's not supposed to work. Now, men, get ready to read this with me. It mentions he's talking to men, so he's talking to you, men. He's talking to our sons. He's talking to our daughters. Who is he not talking to? That means your wife better have dinner cooked when you get home today, right? No, that's not what that means. Because I'm cooking dinner today. When he said you, he was referring to your wife. Because the man is the head of the wife, so he was including that in there. But it gets real specific here. I don't want you to work. I don't want your wife to work. I don't want your son to work. I don't want your daughter to work. I don't even want your cow to work. I don't want your horse to work. I don't want nothing in your house to work. It says even the sojourner within your gates. That means if somebody was visiting in the town who was an alien, who was not an Israelite, they were just passing through and they're within inside the city walls of the gate, guess what? They ain't allowed to work that day either. Because God is saying, this is the day that I want to be set apart to be holy, and I want you to remember what I've done. Well, they're an alien. They don't know what God has done. They will today. It was also a way for God's people to show the difference between them and the people they were around. It was a way for them to witness and show who God was, even in the resting. The whole family was not allowed to work, but to rest. Sadly, America has become a very tired nation. In America, in 2016, we consumed 29 billion, not million, billion gallons. That is enough to fill 44,000 Olympic water swimming pools. 29 billion gallons of energy drinks. Now, that does not include coffee. Let's don't get carried away. We're talking your Monsters, your Red Bulls, your five-hour shots, all of those wonderful things. 29 billion, we must be a tired nation. We must be exhausted. I don't even know how we're upright walking around. 29 billion gallons. Apparently, we are very tired. Are we a nation of people that honors the Sabbath? Would we be as tired as we are if we would take God's word for what it says and say, hey, let's give God a day of rest here? Now, I want to put a clause in here. I know some people's jobs require them to work on Sunday. Medical, police, firefighters, those things. You work for a company and they tell you your schedule, you've got to work this day. I'm not talking about you. I'm not trying to convict you of anything. I understand that happens. But today they're celebrating would have been our Saturday. Today we're on Sunday. There's 7 days in a week. If you can't rest on Sunday, pick you another day to be your Sabbath. Pick you a day to rest. I understand that jobs sometimes interfere with this. But Jesus is saying, you need rest. We need rest in America. We need to get ourselves back on track to what the Bible says, and that is come to God. That is follow what God is telling us to do. Have a day of rest in Him. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we are tired, we can go to Jesus. When we're tired and upset, we can go to Jesus. When the world is bearing down and the burden on our shoulders is so strong and heavy, we don't know what we can do, we can turn to Jesus. And He says, I will give you rest. And there's rest inside Jesus Christ better than any sleep you'll ever get. There's rest inside of Jesus Christ that is better than anything you're going to get out of a bottle or a pill. There's rest inside of Jesus Christ that will restore you, that will fill you, and will renew you to what God intended you to be, and that was a child of God. God gives us rest like no other person because He created us. He knows us intimately, and He has prepared for us a time to rest in Him, a time to be refreshed in Him, a time to be renewed by Him. When we can only find true rest in Jesus Christ, for He created us. Now the Ten Commandments has been given to the Israelites shortly after their departure of Egypt. They have come out of slavery. I just have to imagine that if you're a slave, you probably don't get one day off a week. They probably had to work every day of the week to build the bricks that it says they built. So this was a commandment to them to remember and to go back before the time of slavery. But it was also a time for them to reflect on what he had just did for them. He had just brought them out of bondage. He says, I want you to take one day a week, and I want you to remember that I just brought you out of bondage. And he also said, I want you to remember where I'm taking you to. He said, because I'm leading you to the promised land. When you're a Christian, you have a bondage that you can look back on, because you was once bondage to sin. There was a time in your life, if you're a Christian, you was in bondage to sin. And Jesus has set you free by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been set free. And we need to look back and say, thank you, Lord, for that freedom that I have. The only freedom I have is the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. The only rest I will ever receive is the rest that I receive in Jesus Christ. He says, now remember, he didn't say just don't work. He said, I want you to rest and I want you to keep the day holy. Holy means to be set apart. He wants it to be a day set apart from everything else. It was from the very beginning of time that God designed a day for his creation to remember what he had done for them and for them to find rest. He wants it to be set apart. He wants it to be different than any other day. And today is different than any other day of the week. I'm not going to work today. I slept in a little later than I normally do. I may take a nap this evening because it's Sunday. And when you're a good Southern Baptist, buddy, it's in the book. You got to take a nap on Sundays. But it's more than just that. It's a day set apart to remember what he has done for me. God still wants us to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But we're not under the old covenant. We're not under the old covenant of Moses. We still listen to the law. We still obey the law. But we're not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. We're under the new covenant that on that first day of the week, on that Sunday morning when they went to that grave, the tomb was open. We're under the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed so that we could have entrance into the Holy of Holies. We're under the covenant of Jesus Christ, which says we are now his creation. We are now his brothers and sisters in Christ. We're under that covenant. Which takes me to my next point here. We're going to be renewing. Where he wants us to remember, he wants us to rest, and he wants us to renew on the Sabbath day. I'm going to read two verses here for you right quick. First one is John 20:19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Acts 20 verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, that would have been Sunday, when we gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speeches until midnight. We have two verses right after Jesus' death and resurrection that highlight Sunday. Somewhere in that same time, people started gathering, guess what? On Sundays, our Sabbath transitioned from Saturday to Sunday. We're not under the old covenant, we're under the new covenant. The new covenant says, remember the day that the Lord was raised from the dead. It was a day that set us apart. It was a day that we've been set free. It was a day that we can go to the throne room of glory and we can accept Jesus for what he did for us. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Christians began to celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. And they remembered his death. And they remembered his resurrection. Today we should have come to church not to see what we were wearing, not to see what kind of good food we were going to have downstairs, not to see what kind of flavoring we had for the coffee. We should have come today to remember what Jesus did for us. Because Jesus went to a cross and he hung there and died so I could be saved. Jesus went to a cross and he hung there and died so you could be saved. We should come here today to remember what he did for us. His death on the cross made the way. We should come here to remember that we've been set free from the bondage of sin. But you know what? We don't got to do that just on Sunday. Praise God, we can do that every day, and we should. We should remember that every day. And we should find rest in Him on the Sabbath. But not just merely sleeping. True rest. The rest that can only come from Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. In Him we have peace and rest. When the world's tough and there's things that are bothering us, and there's things that we don't understand, and we don't know how we're going to pay the next bill. We don't know how we're going to pay the medical bill. Lost your job and you don't know what you're going to do. Your marriage is not in the best shape. Your kids are grown and you've tried your best and they've run from the Lord. You don't know what in the world you're going to do. The Bible says come to Jesus and rest in Him. It says come to Him and rest. And today should be that day that we come together and we rest. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Him, we can have rest from fear. As Christians, we shouldn't have fear. As Christians, we shouldn't have fear because we know that we have been set apart. We've been made holy. God made the Sabbath as a holy day. He made us as a holy people to follow after Him. We shouldn't have fear because we know what happens in the end. We know that there's going to be a day, either by death through the grave or by the trumpet sounding, we're going to leave this world and we're going to a place that God has prepared for us. We should not have fear. As Christians, we can find rest in Him. Romans 12, 2 and 3 say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We'll read that, just that first part one more time. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can remember what God's done for us. We can rest in Him. And we can renew ourselves in His fellowship. We're here today at what we call church. There's congregations just like this one. Some larger than us, some smaller than us. And they're in all kind of buildings. I still think ours is the best building though. I mean, how many churches have it in the old round barn, right? There's some that are in mega, just probably have 10,000 people in their service. And there's some that may only have 10. But we're having church because we're coming together and we're fellowshipping with one another. The Bible says to share your burdens with one another. Don't try to carry all your burdens by yourself. Share them with one another so that we can lift you up in prayer. We can pray for you. We can support you. We're coming today to renew ourselves in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We're coming today to renew ourselves with one another so that we can worship individually, but we can worship together as a group. We are here to be challenged by what God has laid on our hearts. We are here to renew ourselves and our minds in Him. We are resting in Him while we're in this service today because we're just soaking in what God is saying here. When we read the Bible, we're resting in His presence. When we're praying, we're resting in His presence. Where we're singing songs of praise to Jesus Christ, we're resting in His presence. We're renewing ourselves. We're renewing ourselves in Him because He said, don't work on this day. But the other 6 days of the week, we should be out working. Now, some of us, that may mean a physical job where you're laboring every day. Some of us, that may not be the same thing. But let's take out working in the sense of physical labor to earn money. Let's look at the working that we should be doing those 6 other days in discipling, in witnessing, in caring, in loving one another. We should be doing those things the other 6 days as well, not just simply a physical job. We should be resting here on Sunday to renew ourselves and refresh ourselves and be prepared to go out tomorrow. Be prepared for the next 6 days. Be prepared to bless somebody as God puts them in our path. Let's renew ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25 says, I love this verse. This is my I can step on your toes verse right here. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:25 is the verse that we can stand on that says, let's all come together on Sunday mornings and worship God together. Let's come together and mingle with one another. Let's come together and fellowship on this day that we've set aside, Sunday. Let's come together and worship God together. God has charged us in the Old Testament to have a day and have it to be holy. The New Testament charges us not to neglect that day. And by this point, when Hebrews was written, it was on Sunday that we should come together. It is very important that we set aside a day to worship God. The New Testament and the Old Testament teaches it. But it all starts with an obedient heart, willing to follow Him. You know, there's 10 commandments. And most of them are pretty easy to follow. I have never killed nobody. And I'm stopping there. No, not really. Depending on the situation, I don't really lie that much unless you're a student in my classroom. I keep the Lord, He is my God. I remember the Sabbath. The whole vain thing last week really got my toes. I don't know about yours. But we want to pick and choose which commandments we want to follow. But God gave us all 10 for a reason, because He wanted us to follow all 10. And number 4, the Sabbath, is just as important to God as number 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are. And if He put it in there, He intended us to do it. Just as much as He intended us not to go murder somebody, just as much as He intended us not to go lie or to covet or have an affair or to have any other god before Him, number 4 is just as important to God as the other 9. We cannot pick and choose which commandments we want to follow. We must be obedient to God, and we must follow all of them. God wants us to remember what He did for us. He wants us to rest in His presence, and He wants us to fellowship with other believers so that we renew and build each other up. He gave us all 10. He wants us to follow all 10. As the music team makes their way back to the stage this morning, are you here today? Are you in need of rest? Are you in need of true rest, which comes from the Lord? They're going to begin to play, and this altar is going to be open. If you're here today and you're tired, I don't mean just physically tired. You're spiritually tired. You're emotionally tired. Things just ain't going like you think they should go. I want you to know this altar is open. And if you want to come kneel down here and you just want to pray to God, you just pour it out to Jesus. I'm going to be standing down here. If you want to come take me by the hand and pray with, I'll pray with you, man, I'd love to. But maybe you're tired today because you've never given your life completely to Jesus Christ, and you never let Him fill you up with the Spirit of God in your life to such a degree where the tiredness is gone and the joy of the Lord is just all over you, then today would be the day to come. Nothing would thrill me more today than to just tell you more about salvation in Jesus Christ. This altar is open for you today as they sing. Obey God, be obedient as the Lord leads.